Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist patriots. Welcome to the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty coming out of Spokane, Washington. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you and good morning everyone out there. Welcome to Wifflebat Wednesday.
Yes, that was a direct hit.
No kidding.
Love it.
That's right. Well, we've got some great news, actually, and a couple great clips. One of the clips from Speaker Johnson, and I think that we hope to shed some light on his latest statement about not wanting to allow the impeachment proceedings for Biden. And so after the break, we will be getting to that, as well as his speech that was given to the pro-Israel rally at the mall at the Capitol.
They're saying like 250,000 people there.
Yep.
They're estimating 60,000, and they said, oh, it could be like 100 to 120,000, and then it just exploded, the support. And I just, I saw a poll here. I actually took this poll, and it's showing, this is at cf.org, should America support Israel? I thought, well, I'd never do these polls. So I clicked yes. And, of course, then they give you the results. 91% of respondents said yes.
There we have it.
5% said no, and 4% say not sure.
Exactly. And so this is where the truth comes out, where the mass media is showing nothing but pure hype and highly exaggerated numbers for support for Gaza.
Well, at best, they show us like neck to neck.
Yeah.
The country's divided.
Right.
You know, half support Hamas, half support. No. When you've got, billionaire globalist backing where you can create signs and organize people, like you did with BLM or Antifa to get them to show up and raise flags and raise cane.
Right.
That whole point is to project.
Yes.
And try to convince people that there's this massive support for terrorists, and there's not.
Right. And especially when you've got just one or two people that own all of these media networks across the whole nation, where they can put out the catchphrase for the day, and it is echoed across 2,300 mass media outlets all at the same time.
Yeah. Now, that just makes me that much more grateful for the American Christian Network and Liberty Broadcasting.
That's right.
That are independently owned, that are not bought out and sold, by the large networks. Even conservative and Christian outlets are being throttled back on, well, let's not talk about that. Let's not go there. In some of these conservative, not Christian, but just, conservative outlets, they're losing their talk show hosts, or they're canning them, they're yanking them, or they're choking what
they say. They're censuring them.
Yeah.
And so that's the name of the game in this era, apparently, is cut out all free speech, make sure that all the elected officials are elected fraudulently according to an electronic voting system, and also make sure that all of the judicial system is bought and sold by Soros, and he's not even a citizen of this country, and yet he has everybody in the judicial system on his payroll. And so, this is quite the phenomenal
he's
organization.
Soros originally from Hungary. When you talk to the people in Hungary, they want him in prison or hanging from a rope.
That's right.
I mean, they can't stand it.
Well, and that's why he has to live in China, because the second he steps out of China, Italy will arrest him for crimes against humanity.
Yeah.
And so I think every nation should have that out for him. And the only, you know, it makes sense that the only nation that would have him live there is China.
Yes.
So, well, and he and Bill Gates should be exiled from the United States altogether. He should have his citizenship revoked or just flat out just put him in prison. You know, oh my gosh, that guy, he has more crimes against humanity than probably Soros does at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and speaking of Hungary, I love, just love Viktor Orban, the president or prime minister, I should say, of Hungary. That's like the European redoubt. It's just this wonderful. Anyway, the Wiffle Bat Award for segment one goes to Viktor Orban for taking the Wiffle Bat to the European Union. He says, we don't want mini Gazas in Budapest. So, and he's saying the European Union needs to realign its whole view on their migrant policy. Of course,
right.
I think it's too late. France has fallen. Germany is teetering, if not gone. And, you know, many of the others. But he warned against the dangers of escalating immigration, linking it to an increased risk of terrorism, and expressed a firm stance on behalf of Hungary, saying we don't want mini Gazas in the district of Budapest. And he said that basically it just leads to the formation of ghettos and subsequent social disintegration. And he's absolutely right.
Yep, that is just flat out common sense right there, because that is akin to opening your house to rattlesnakes. You know,
yeah.
And then, you know, because you know, they haven't bitten you yet, and so how harmful could they actually be? Just let a whole bunch of rattlesnakes come and move into your house.
Right.
What could go wrong?
Well, we could at least try it.
Right,
you know,
we can
show,
you know,
compassion.
Yeah, they need to stay warm.
Because once you realize it was such a dumb idea, you can't undo it. That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
And thank goodness there's an adult in the room in the European Union there with Viktor Orban. And,
that's right.
You know, Poland and the Czech Republic, too, have been really nationalistic in their approach to that, too.
Now, we reported on this. I thought it was Poland that had put up the fence, the actual barrier around their country, refusing to let any of the illegal immigrants in.
Oh, yeah.
And the illegal immigrants, of course, were absolutely furious, but who cares? They don't belong there. Who cares?
The military.
Who cares if they're mad?
That's right. It was Poland and Hungary as well, but in Poland, they just had these hordes of hundreds, if not thousands, these angry Muslims trying to tear down their fence, and they had the military out there with water cannons.
Defending it, yep.
Yep.
Yep, good for them.
Absolutely.
That is just flat out common sense. You keep rattlesnakes out of your house.
I'm so glad that some people, there are some leaders in the world that actually recognize a invasion when they see one.
Exactly.
And respond accordingly, appropriately.
That's right.
So, well, all right. So we got the word of the day, and yesterday was part one of a two-part word of the day. So
yes, it was. And
what do we have today?
So this came from a random turning from yesterday, which is Hebrews chapter 7, and we're covering the whole chapter. It's not that long. It's only 28 verses. So the word of the day for Wifflebat Wednesday comes to us from Hebrews chapter 7, starting with verse 11 going through 28, that reads under the title, The Need for a New Priesthood. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest who should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son which has been perfected forever. And that's it. And So that's remarkable, describing how the order of Melchizedek with Jesus at the head of it.
Right.
How cool is that? Because he is the first priest in the order of an eternal priesthood.
Now, this is written by Paul, who was a Pharisee. So he completely knew about the priesthood and the line of Aaron. They're the only ones that could be priests.
Right.
The line of Aaron.
Right.
But he knew enough, because it's direct teaching from Christ, to parse that out between the two priesthoods.
Yep.
The new better covenant and the law.
Yeah.
This is a very, very fascinating and super deep topic.
I love this topic. I love studying the order of Melchizedek.
And it's so rich that I find myself, after studying it and grasping it, and it makes sense, afterward I feel like I have to keep coming back to it.
Right.
Because I can't articulate it. I can't, you know, until I go start studying it again, and then it all starts to make sense. The separation, you know, the new covenant versus the old covenant. We have a new priesthood because Christ is the high priest under the order of Melchizedek, which under Jewish law, that you can't do that. It has to be only the priesthood of the house of Aaron can be a priest.
That's right.
But this is different. This is very, very cool.
Right. And the Bible notes here describe that the Greek word here for another is not allos, which means another of the same kind, but Hereros, another of a totally different order.
Yes.
The priesthood of Christ supersedes the Levitical priesthood. And so that's awesome. The fact that's why he is different than every other religion out there.
Right.
He actually bridges the gap of death. He bridges the gap that anybody that lived in this time claiming to be a god or gods with small g, right?
Right.
Anything from Buddhism, anything from Hinduism or Islam, saying that you know, we've done great things here on the earth, you know, worship us, right?
Right.
They can't bridge the gap of death. They have exactly. There is no bridge, and because there was sin. Because every single man ever born, including Buddha, including all of the Hindu gods, they come from sin. And Jesus is the only sinless being that was able to overcome death and Hades, right?
Yes.
And so
him, and return from the dead.
Yes. And so therefore making the bridge by, you know, he removes the veil.
Yes.
You know, and he, that's why it says, you know, if the only way that you can get to God is through him, he's the door. He's the bridge that bridges the gap of death.
And that his death and resurrection so finalized everything. It took Satan 600 years to come up with Islam.
That's
he's
right.
Like, dang it.
Just imagine how mad he was for 600 years.
Oh, yeah. Boy, he had the perfect little plan and found the perfect little minion to carry it out for him. But, you know, and so they've been trying to do, Satan's been trying to do damage control, you know, on the gospel of Christ
right.
ever since then. And so now that's why they have this whole new doctrine given to by an angel.
Right. And it's, right? And it's like an exact duplicate of him trying to portray himself as Jesus, especially when the Mahdi comes back on a white horse.
Right.
Right. You know, he even copied it down to that.
Yes.
And you know what, why this chapter is so rich, because what we covered yesterday describes the character of God that never changes and is eternal as well.
Right.
Because in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 7, where it describes that Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to him also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. So there is described the Old Testament with Abraham right. being the father of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, right?
And this was 500 years before Moses and right. Aaron and right. the priesthood, and the law was that's, all established.
That's right. And right. and the righteous tithing from the slaughter of these kings, mm-hmm. that was a righteous tithing to Melchizedek,
yes.
who actually has to be Jesus, because the order of Melchizedek, he is the only one to bridge the gap of death to make the eternal priesthood accessible. That's phenomenal.
Yeah,
So reaching back to the character of God, describing, I'm going to allow you to destroy your enemies. I'm going to deliver them into your hand. You will give me a tenth. You'll give a tithing to me of that blessing of the spoils.
Right.
And then he goes and does the ultimate thing in the end with the whole establishment of the eternal priesthood.
Right.
That's phenomenal in depth, reaching all the way back to all the way into the future and eternity.
Yeah. Now, there is debate between scholars or whether or not Melchizedek was was Christ himself, or a Christ type, a real living man, but his characteristics were so lined up that it was a type of Christ, like a foreshadowing of Christ, but it wasn't actually Christ himself. So
we'll
know one day when we're in eternity, it'll all be cleared up.
I think it clears it up really nicely just in verse 3.
Yes.
Because who else would fit this description? Verse 3, chapter 7, verse 3 describes without father, without mother, without genealogy,
right.
having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually.
Right.
There is only one.
Right.
There is only one. And so that, I think that settles that argument cleanly.
Well,
right,
there you go.
Right then and there. I mean, who else? Who else could that? There's nobody else in existence that is
yeah.
that could do that. Nobody. Yep. So it pretty much has to be him, and they called him that before because they couldn't call him the Messiah at that point, right? Because
right.
that kind of
there was
ruins,
no Messiah,
right?
Right.
That ruins everything, and it would confuse everybody forever.
Right? Yeah. It's all about the timing, and it wasn't the right time for even start talking about a Messiah at that point.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a lot of groundwork that still had to be
done.
Well,
and especially since that name Melchizedek translated into King of Righteousness, mm-hmm. and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace.
Right.
All of that is written in chapter 7, verses 1 through 3.
Yes.
So, yep. Fascinating.
Very, very, very cool. This would be a good one to put on the list to go back in and deep dive and study.
Watch a bunch of sermons.
Yeah.
Look it
yep.
up on
Get
YouTube.
Get in the Word. Yep.
That's right. Yep.
Very cool. All right. So this part 2 was Hebrews 7, but what were the verses?
11 through 28.
11 through 28. Okay. Got it. All right. Well, we better take a break. We've got some sound clips to play for you on the other side. So stick around, Patriots. This segment brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. And you can check that podcast out at prepping2-0.com. The morning commute will continue right after these messages. Wars and rumors of wars.
much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans.
Our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. This is not simply another four-year election. This is a crossroads in the history of our civilization that will determine whether or not we, the people, reclaim control over our government.
When disaster strikes, will you have what it takes to survive? Here at ARC, we offer survival training, medical training, and self-defense classes to help you prepare for the unexpected. Our experienced instructors will teach you practical skills that will allow you to adapt and overcome in any crisis situation. Sign up for one of our training courses today. Your security is your own responsibility. Visit our website at AmericanReconstructionConcepts.com.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of the morning commute. And we are mostly listener supported. Thank you guys for those of you who do support us. Just $5 or $10 or $20 a month, any amount that doesn't set you back, but will still help us continue on the air and doing what we do and paying for all the costs. We appreciate you guys. Go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com, click on the Donate to RFR tab to open up the page to find out how you can support us. Well, Lady Liberty, that speech that Israel, pro-Israel rally on the Mall in D.C. was just
fantastic.
Incredible yesterday. Yeah.
Yep.
And so we got Mike Johnson gave a speech. Now, of course, the outside audio, man, it's almost always a tough thing to record.
Yes.
You know, so they got the recording, then it gets the echo from the speakers. But this is just so nice. So such a great message. We wanted to share it with you anyway. So the audio thing, that's not on us. That's the only one available.
Just pretend that you're there and it's echoing off the buildings around you.
Just put yourself right there. Just close your eyes, unless you're driving, and just imagine that you're there. This is what it sounded like. Great speech.
Last week, a bipartisan group on their well-being since that day. As a parent myself, I can begin to comprehend their despair. All of us feel that way. This morning, we watched a horrific film that was produced by Hamas from their own cameras as they committed the assault. It's unspeakable. The auditorium was full of Republicans and Democrats in the House, and they wept as we watched the film together. Most couldn't sit through it. These Israeli hostages were kidnapped in their homes by barbaric Hamas terrorists for simply being Jewish and living in Israel. As Prime Minister Netanyahu says so well, this is a fight between good and evil, between light and darkness, between civilization and barbarism. The calls for a ceasefire are outrageous. We stand with you in that. Hamas terrorists waged the bloodiest assault on Jewish lives since the Holocaust, and there are hundreds of hostages, many of them Americans, still stuck inside Gaza. Israel will cease their counteroffensive when Hamas ceases to be a threat to the Jewish state.
But Hamas's genocidal and anti-Semitic rhetoric isn't just confined to Gaza, as you know. The war in Israel has awakened an alarming amount of anti-Semitism towards Jewish people here in the United States and across the globe. From the halls of Congress to college campuses, this rise of anti-Semitism must be stopped. We've heard many echo the Hamas rallying cry of from the river to the sea, and I'm convinced that a lot of these college students that are engaging in these protests do not understand that is an explicit call for the extermination of Israel. It is happening daily in our country, as you know, and it is unacceptable for Jewish Americans to feel unsafe at home. It is unacceptable for Jewish businesses to face violence, vandalism, and threats. It is unacceptable for universities to allow Hamas apologists to assault and accost Jewish students on campus. It is unacceptable for any political leader in this nation to give credence to this dangerous rhetoric. We can and we must do more to stand with our great ally and friend. It is my hope that this gathering today serves as a reminder to the entire world, but also to those within our own borders, that the United States stands proudly with Israel and the Jewish people forever. Forever.
Very cool. And that crowd of thousands and thousands, no ceasefire, no ceasefire. Don't let up.
That's right. And 91% of the country stands with Israel. Remember that poll. And also the fact that he described that Congress all watched the Hamas cameras that the soldiers had on their person while they were doing these atrocities, and people were crying, and some couldn't even watch the whole thing. They couldn't make it through it. They had to leave.
That's right.
Same thing happened with the Israel, the whole parliament that was watching that from Israel. They all were just crying and bawling when they came out of there after
it's
seeing.
Horrible. Absolutely. Yep. Just heart-wrenching, just the footage that we've seen. And it warrants such a response. You know, somebody said, oh, they don't care about civilians. And I saw the best meme. If Israel didn't care about civilians, this war would have been over on October 8th.
That's right.
And you just can't say it any better than that.
That's for sure.
So, well, we're out of time. We've got plenty of material for tomorrow as well. So make sure to tune in 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute right here.
That's right. You all have a wonderful Wifflebout Wednesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.